Amen. We're blessed, aren't we? Blessed. All right. John, my favorite chapter, one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible, John chapter 14. Love that chapter. Love it. You ought to read it if you hadn't read that in a while. And just take your time and pour it over your head. John chapter 14. Say amen as soon as you get there. Go right to it. Start at verse 15. Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever." I like that phrase, forever. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest or show thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him." How do we love the Lord? It ain't on our own. Amen. You think about that. It's through the Holy Spirit that we love the Lord and can love, because the love of the Lord is shed abroad in our hearts. So when he talks about this, he is revealing to us how we will love the Lord. Because the Bible says that none of us seek the Lord. No one comes to try to find the Lord. No one doeth good, Paul says. And it is the Holy Spirit that brings that love about. "And we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Talking about us, him and the Father. "And he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, ye would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence." Look back with me in one particular verse I want to preach from, verse 28. "Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again to you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said I go to the Father, for my Father is greater than I." We should rejoice because Jesus is seated next to the Father right now. The disciples were in the ministry with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the ministry was not easy. Life was not easy for Jesus. It was not easy for his disciples. They were treading new ground. And every time they turned a corner, someone was in their face. The devil was trying his best to kill Jesus all the time. People were pushing on Jesus, and certainly the disciples had left everything to follow this man. And now this man that they had loved so much and been with him for some time was telling them, "I'm going to leave." That's not what I would want to hear from the greatest man that I'd ever come in contact with. "I'm going to be leaving you pretty soon." And the Lord is trying to tell his disciples that because I've told you who I am and you've seen what I can do and I'm going to be with the Father, you should rejoice. But they didn't see that as rejoicing. But the Lord saw it, and He knew exactly why they should rejoice. They didn't understand it. But the Lord was trying to get them to understand. And He was telling them time and time again, you'll know when the time comes, when the Holy Ghost fills you in that upper room, and you're filled with power from on high, you'll know all that I'm teaching you and telling you about. I thought about His mama Mary, how her heart was broke when Jesus left. But when she was filled full of the Holy Ghost, she felt her Son all over again. Amen? So the ministry was difficult on His followers, and Jesus was trying to comfort His disciples and His people during this troublesome time in the ministry and in their life. And so Jesus was saying, look, I'm going to leave you, but it is a good thing that I go. Because if I go, I will send you the Comforter. So Jesus wanted them to know that they should be rejoicing, although they didn't understand it. Jesus was going to the Father. He was going to the headquarters, if you would. He was the chief commanding officer, and Him and His staff in the headquarters in heaven would be seated there to prosecute their way in the world from on high. Often trouble finds us and distress hits us, and we know the Lord loves us. But Jesus wants you and I to rejoice because He is seated beside the Father right now. And although you and I are in a difficult situation in life, maybe you're troubled about something, maybe there's a mountain or a storm you're facing or something very difficult you're confronted with. Well, I feel like the Lord wanted to tell us tonight that I am near you and I am with you. I believe the Lord wants you to know that you have not been forsaken. He is near you like He always said He'd be near you, and He will stay near you. So I want us to look at why we ought to rejoice that Jesus is seated next to the Father, or that He went up to heaven. The Bible says that Jesus was born of a woman. Thanks be unto God. He didn't become an animal. He didn't become an angel. He became a man. He became one of us. He walked on our streets. He handled our children. He touched the old men in their time. And He touched the young ladies to heal them. And people touched Him to heal themselves. Jesus became a man to save man from their sin. He treaded our miserable streets and walked in the flesh of our miserable lives. And He won. Hallelujah. He showed us how we could live and how we can have victory, and showed us that He was the God of all. And the Bible says He ascended up to heaven, and today He is seated at the right hand of the Father. Well, I want you to know what Jesus was trying to tell His disciples was a few things. And one of those things that He wanted them to rejoice about was that He was going to the Father, but of what His relationship with the Father was. The Father loved Jesus. And Jesus is one of us. He's not an angel sitting next to the Father. He is a man. He is a man. He is a human being just like you and I. He has eyes. He has a mouth. He has a tongue. He has ears. He has hair. He has hands and He has feet. And He is seated right now next to God, the Father, the Spirit. He is seated there, a man. Is sitting right next to God, who is Spirit. And those that worship Him in spirit and in truth. I mean, God don't look like Jesus, although when you see Jesus and hear His message, you're hearing and seeing the Father. But there are three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus said that I am going to be seated next to the Father, He is a human being seated there. We have someone in heaven like us. Make an intercession for us. But better than that is one of us went before us to be seated next to the Father, but the Father loves the one that is seated next to Him. It's not somebody that just barged in and took a seat. Oh no, the Father loves the Son and His relationship to the Son. Jesus is telling His disciples, you heard me tell you that I'm going to the Father. And if you really knew our relationship and how much I love you, you'd get excited about me going to be seated next to the Father. You see, you're better off for me sitting seated next to the Father. We are better off today with Jesus sitting right next to God, who can give us everything.
So he is saying, get excited that I am going to be seated next to the Father. So the fact that Jesus is seated next to God ought to excite us. But what ought to excite us even more is the relationship that the Father has to the Son. I don't like to always tell my past, but I think the Lord will use it. And sometimes it helps people to understand, hey, I'm not even better than you. But some years ago, before I got saved, before I gave my heart to the Lord, I was facing some prison time years before I got saved. And it was because of drugs. And I went to my granny and my mom give me $2,000 to go down and buy me an attorney. And we went down there and they, one give $1,000, I think granny did, and mom give $1,000 to make sure this sweet, innocent little boy wouldn't face any prison time. Well, I was scared to death. But I found out that the attorney that I got was the best friend or one of the best friends of the judge. And when I heard that this attorney would go fishing with the judge and they'd sit back and laugh and slap each other on the back, I felt a little bit more comfortable when it come court time, knowing that my lawyer was best friends with the old man sitting behind the desk there. And thanks be unto God, I got probation out of that and didn't have to serve any time. Another time I got an attorney, and that attorney one time, I remember him going back to the office of the judge. And I watched my attorney sit in a seat and put his feet up on the judge's desk. Now you can't do that unless your relationship is right with that judge. And I'll tell you what happened later, got us scot-free because of that relationship. I'm telling you, because of the relationship that the Son has with the Father and that we have with the Son, brings us into a good condition when we are in need. See, we have a connection in heaven. Jesus is seated next to the judge, if you would. Or, of course, Jesus is the judge. But Jesus loves you and He loves me. And so we can go sit down at the table at the most highest of authority and on our behalf have intercession made for you and me. Not only should they rejoice because of the relationship with the Father, but because of our relationship with the Son. Jesus said, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You see, we have authority in Christ. Jesus is seated next to the Father, and He loves me. Amen. I don't understand that. Woo! He loves me and you. We sometimes think, how could anybody love us? Even in a saved condition, sometimes we don't feel like anybody could love us. But that hadn't got anything to do with the truth of the matter, that you are greatly beloved in heaven. You are called a friend of God, a friend of Christ. Jesus is in heaven today, Brother Randy, making intercession for you and I. Paul wrote, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Christ knew that we would sin, even after we are saved. And that's why He is seated there next to the Father to make this intercession for us. Jesus solicits favor from the Father. When we confess our sins, Christ is there to make sure everything is fine in heaven for you and I, to keep the communications and the needs open before the Father. You're talking about somebody rejoicing. If the disciples really understood that, listen, you're going to make some mistakes in life, but I'm going to the Father to make sure everything will be all right. Not only does He make intercession, but also He is our advocate. The Bible says, John writes, my little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. This is one who pleads our cause for another in civil court. Not only is he an advocate, an intercessor, but also he is our mediator. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus works out the matters between you and God. Amen. Jesus is there on our behalf to make sure that we're always okay with God. Always okay with God. You see, when Jesus
when God wants to have a commune with us, He's always looking at His Son. And when He speaks to us and hears from us, it's always through His Son. The man, our person, our part, our intercessor, our mediator, our high priest. He is there to go between God and man. Moses was a mediator between God and Israel. Israel was afraid to talk to God. God one time was coming down the mountain with thunders and lightnings and the earth shook and they all ran in their tents. And they said, Moses, we don't want to talk to God. We're afraid of God. Would you go tell Him? They wanted everything that God could give them, but they didn't want to see God face to face. And I tell you what, nobody has seen God and lived. But we have Jesus Christ, bless God, who is the mediator to give me the things I need from the Father. And He gladly does it. My children often come to Kelly and they'll go ask her the things that I need. Well, even Brother Eric back there has gotten used to that. Amen. I might sound rough and gruff sometimes, but tarry with me a little while and you might find that you'd find some wonderful things. Sometimes we have a mediator, a go-between. Not only is He there as our intercessor, our mediator, our advocate, but because of the relationship with the Father, we should rejoice. Because of our relationship with Christ, the disciples, and you and I should rejoice. But also, He is there to claim our stake in heaven. He went to heaven to hold your seat. Hallelujah. You shouldn't think light of that, dear one. When you get to heaven, He'll be there to greet you, to have your place ready. Paul said in Galatians 3:29, He says, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. And if children, then heirs, or share by lot, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Just here recently, and you do this often, we went to Brother Eric's ball game. And we went there, and a lot of the family was there. And Kelly and I got there before everybody else, I think. And we chose some good seats. We can sit back in the back and lean up against the back wall. And we put some chairs in different places. It didn't matter how full it got. We was making sure that there was always this place for the ones that we loved. Now, some showed up and some didn't, but we still had a spot for you. Amen. It was still there for you. Amen. I'm afraid there's plenty of room in heaven. Won't be all, everybody ought to be there, should be there, I don't guess. But there's plenty of room. But the Lord Jesus Christ has gone to heaven to mark out your stake. And when you come in, you won't be a stranger. They will be expecting you because of Christ Jesus. I golfed with a fellow some years ago, Brother Dude and I did. And we got to talking, and one of the guys was a military man, a high up, what was it, colonel or colonel? But he wasn't no preacher. We was a preacher, and wasn't no deacon, was he? No. But the guy owned the glass bottom boat there, free fishing, and he told me, he said, I'm going to give y'all some free tickets. You just go up to the boat there. It's a glass-bottom boat. You get in. And you go up there and you'll just tell them who you are, who sent you. Tell them you golf with me today. Give them my name. So I went home, told the family. Of course, we don't have much money. We just down there enjoying the sun and the sand. And so if somebody gives you something free like that, you get all crazy. You'd like to beat yourself in the head trying to get ready fast enough. We got down there at the boat and come down to the counter, the ticket booth there, and we're wondering if this guy's a nut anyhow. You know, this guy own anything? Does he really own this boat? That's a big old establishment. That's a big business there. Walked right up there to the counter and said, so-and-so, the owner. Oh, yeah, the owner. What's your name? Oh, yeah, he's left your tickets here. Boy, and I marched out of there, Brother Dude, and I did. Yeah, we're taken care of. We got on that boat and had us a good time, free. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you and me today. He wants us to rejoice because He is seated next to the Father. You ought to get excited because He has made a stake for you or claimed a piece of property in heaven. See, Jesus said, I have to go in order to send the Holy Ghost. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient, necessary for you and me that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. I think about the night that Judas came seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's very interesting that I love Chuck Messler. You ought to get some of his material. And PhD is a great, great teacher. But he said, you know, the Lord Jesus controlled that whole night. When he was with Judas there, when they took the Lord Jesus that night, when they were in having the Lord's Supper, Jesus looked around the crowd and said, when are you going to betray me? And of course, it worried the rest of the disciples, and they began to question themselves. And I think that's okay. Just go to the Lord, work that thing out, and God will give you peace. Amen? There's sweet peace if you work it out. There's sweet peace. And so Jesus said, it's the one that dips his bread in the gravy together with me, or I hand the sop to. And he told Judas, found out that really they didn't want Judas to betray the Lord Jesus on a holiday, because the Roman soldiers were there and they were trying to keep the peace during the holiday of the feast season. But that night, Jesus told Judas, what you're going to do, you do quickly. I don't care if it's a holiday or not. You go do it. It's almost as the Lord's in control. It's what you know He is. You're going to do it tonight. And Judas knew that he couldn't wait a week from now. It had to be tonight. And Jesus said, go and do it quickly. So Peter's fine. Peter's born again, saved, and in heaven. Don't get him mixed up with Judas. Amen. But Judas runs out and he goes and betrays the Lord Jesus. And Jesus and his disciples go out into the garden. And there they are in the garden praying. And the Lord's very aware of what's happening. He is praying and he knows that the betrayer is near. He's warning his disciples, stay awake, be prepared, be careful. Our temptation is coming. I want you to be ready. And they were so tired and worn out from ministry, just beat up. But about that time, here comes this mob with torches. They come with clubs probably. Just look like an old-time lynching going to take place. Well, you know who steps up front? You read the Bible here. Let me read it here. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? He didn't let his disciples take it on. He didn't let somebody else come to ask him a bunch of questions. It was the Lord that was in control of this very night. All along, Christ was in control. The world didn't take his life. He gave it. He orchestrated everything they were going to do. He knew what was going to happen. He come to them and said, who you seek? And they answered, they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said unto them, now notice this. He said, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with him. John 18:6, and the Bible says, and as soon did as he said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. I love that word. And as I begin to study and learn and find out that when Jesus said, probably when he said, I am, it was the most strongest name, Elohim, that God used in the very beginning. And when he spoke his name to that crowd, they fell back just by saying, I am. You remember when Moses was before the Lord, and Moses said, well, who am I going to tell them sent me? And God said, you tell them, I am sent you. And when they said, we're here to seek Jesus, and Jesus said, well, I am. And they all fell back. I tell you what, a bunch of little weaklings couldn't even stand in front of him saying what his name was. Hey, what's your name? My name's Kevin. Well, I won't bother anybody. But when Elohim said, who are you? When they said, who are you? He said, I'm Elohim. I am. They fell back. And Jesus said, well, do you want me or don't you want me? Amen. And reclined back a little and said, yeah, we'll take you only because I allow you to take me. I'll tell you something. When they put their hands on Jesus, it was only because heaven, angels, the trillions and billions, they just stepped back and folded their wings and fluttered a little.
You just give us the word, Almighty. You just wink at us a little bit. Give us a nudge and we'll wipe out the human race. But I can imagine the Lord Jesus saying, no, 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 we're going to go through this. Love waved them off. Love said, no, we're going to go on through with it. Amen. He gave Himself to the weaklings. And this same Christ, this same Christ, this same Jesus, this same I Am, this same Elohim tells His disciples, you ought to rejoice because I'm going to the Father. Because if I go to the Father, I'll send the Holy Comforter to you. It'll be me making entrance into your soul. Wait into that upper room until I fill you with power from on high, from headquarters. Amen. God lives within each and every believer. You see, we have His authority sitting in this church right now. I said you have the authority of the great I Am living inside of you, dear ones. Amen. The world wants nothing to do with authority. The world does not want anything to do with the authority of the reigning Master within our hearts. But I do. I want His reign within my heart. I want Him to take the reins of my heart and lead me in the right direction. The world doesn't want it. But Jesus said, that's all right. I'm going to show you what's right, what's wrong, and I'll guide you through this wicked world as pilgrims just passing through. You'll have power over demons, over wickedness, even in your own hearts and your own lives, and over people. People that you come in contact with at the grocery store. People that you come in contact with at the schools that you go to. Contact with just riding down or walking down the road. People you work with. You'll have authority and power over them. Because I Am lives inside of you. I don't want you to be discouraged and broke down and beat down because the world says boo. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And Christ wants us to know that. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You close that heart up and take that promise and live with it for all your life. Jesus said, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end. And if God be for us, who can defeat us? They may come against us, but they cannot push us down.
Amen.
Certainly, preaching and teaching within the church seems to be hard and difficult at times. It is hard. You come to church and you feel like, man, that preacher, that word just makes me feel uncomfortable. I feel like I'm always trying to wash up, clean up, get right, and I ain't never right. I don't feel like I can ever catch the pursuit of holiness. You keep on going. You keep going to church. Stay in that word. You stay around the good old-fashioned preaching just because the world don't want to hear it. God wants you to hear it. He's trying to make you a chaste virgin before Him. I want the lordship of the Lord God in my life. I don't always allow Him to have it all, but I want Him to have it all. Peter says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, meaning odd, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. I come to tell you, church, tonight that Christ wants you to know that He'll fight for you. He'll stand with you. He'll serve with you. He'll love with you. He'll walk along your side as you do the things that He has called you to do. The grace that you need, He'll give it to you to accomplish what you need to do. He says, where two or three are gathered in My name, I will be there too. I love what the psalmist says. He says, whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides Thee. Jesus told His disciples, Brother Sharp, He said, rejoice because I'm going to the Father. And every one of us tonight might have some difficulties in this world, but we can raise our hands and say, hallelujah, I've got you in heaven seated next to the Father. What is it that you're struggling with? What is it that you're dealing with? The Lord wants you to know He'll fight that battle for you and He'll win it. Give it to Him. Amen. That's all I got. Rejoice because I go to the Father.